In the name of Jesus, amen. When you were going through confirmation, did you ever once ask the question, if Luther has a small catechism, does he have a large one? Well, the answer to that question is yes. And if you are unfamiliar with either of them, this Lenten journey is going to be a great blessing for you. For this 40-day tour to the cross of Calvary, we're going to be taking out something for Lent. Luther's catechism. But what I ask my confirmands is, why did Luther write the catechism? They'll tell you, because the people were stupid. Well, it's kind of blunt, but it's true. The Reformation was now in full swing. Congregations were becoming Lutheran. And Luther went out to see the churches and to meet the pastors and to talk about the gospel. And he found that the people in the congregations who called themselves Christians didn't even know the Ten Commandments. They didn't know the Apostles' Creed. And they didn't even know the Lord's Prayer. Luther desperately wanted these people to understand what God had done for them through Jesus Christ. And through the catechism, they would begin to learn God's Word. And through their study of the catechism, and that learn the sternness of God's commands, His law, and the sweetness of the gospel. How many of you could probably find your catechism if you would look for it? Many of you could, right? How many don't have one at all would like to have one for free? Talk to me afterwards. I'll line you up. But during this Lenten season, I'm going to challenge you to open your catechism, small, and if you have a large one, read a little bit about it every day. Every day during this 40-day journey to the cross of Calvary, open the catechism and learn. Because Lent is a time of spiritual renewal. Many people, I read on Facebook tonight, that many people give stuff up for Lent, right, Rich? But we're encouraging people to bring something on, to pick something up, and I'm going to encourage you to pick up your catechism, to learn something, and perhaps relearn something that a pastor thought you knew a long time ago that maybe you forgot by now, which is okay, but it's a time of learning. Or catechetic review, true or false? Everyone wants to find love. Well, of course, the answer to that question is true, right? We want to find love. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that there's faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And he would go on to talk about love in 1 Corinthians 13, which is going to be the theme of a wedding coming up here real shortly. And the whole idea is that love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, and it isn't arrogant or rude, and it's certainly a great place to look and find out what love is all about. It makes you feel good inside. It's little wonder people choose that for a wedding verse, right? But during this Lenten season, I've got a better place for you to start when you want to start looking at what love is, and I'm going to point you to the Ten Commandments. I can see I just threw a wet blanket on your parade. The Ten Commandments, Pastor, that's all about the thou shalt and thou shalt nots. And how is the Ten Commandments going to express love to me? The Ten Commandments is the law for a reason. And the law kind of scares me because I know I don't live up to it. Well, Jesus himself saw love, God's love, in the Ten Commandments. When he was asked about the commandments, he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. You want to keep God's law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the greatest commandments. The key word of all that is the word love. The Ten Commandments are oozing with it. By the look on your face, you still don't believe me, do you? Well, Commandments 1, 2, and 3, yet no other gods, not misusing God's name, and remembering the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, all of those deal with our love for God. But how do you ask? Well, you love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then he turns and says that second group, that last seven, 4 through 10, deal with love for our neighbor. And the way we love our neighbor is dictated by God. The reality is that we're supposed to love our neighbor and respect those that are in authority over us, like our father and mother, Sunday school teacher, your boss. And as you get older, I'm not quite sure who's above you. I guess I'll be above you just for tonight. But you have to honor and respect them. Fourth commandment. Fifth commandment, we love our neighbor and we never want to hurt them in body. Always wanting to protect them. The sixth commandment, watch what you're thinking. Watch what you're doing with your mind. Don't let your eyes wander. Don't look at somebody else as not your spouse and fantasize about how that would be. The seventh commandment, simply don't take stuff from your neighbor that belongs to them. It seems really simple to me. The eighth commandment, oh, we're good at that one. Don't even talk about somebody else in a negative fashion. My mom always said, if you don't have something good to say, don't say nothing at all. Gosh, I wish I would have learned that lesson a long time ago. And then that whole ninth and tenth of coveting. But here's the deal. If you get that right, you don't need anything else. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, you're in. But you see, Martin Luther captured Jesus' teaching quite well as he wrote the Small Catechism. He says that you are to that we shall have no other gods, and Luther wrote these words: we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Fear, love, and trust in God above all things. If you get that down, you're golden. Heaven's your home. No problems at all. No sin. No problems. Fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Done. It's over. But dear friends, that's an awful big if. Can we love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And love your neighbor as yourself? See, the fact of the matter is, when it comes to failing to love God above all things, it's probably the most common sin of all. There's a reason why it's the first commandment. They're in order, right? There's a reason God didn't slip in like not covet your neighbor's house, number one, and then love the Lord your God down to number nine. He puts number one as love him above all things for a very, very good reason, because, as Luther writes, many a person thinks that he has God and everything in abundance when he has money and possessions. Have you ever thought that? Geez, life is good. Business is great. My bank account has money in it. Whoa, everything's fine. God, you are so good. But Luther then goes on to write these words: he trusts in them and boasts about them with such firmness and assurance as to care for no one. Luther refers to it as mammon, money and possessions, that is. This is the most common idol on earth. And who has money and possessions feels secure and is joyful and undismayed, as though he is sitting in the midst of paradise. I was checking on Facebook and some of our friends are in Hawaii right now. I'm a little jealous. I'm here with ashes and they're there in Hawaii with, I don't know what they drink in Hawaii, but they're having a good time. Have you ever watched the show, The Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous? You ever watched that? And I forget, the guy says something in Caviar Dreams. And I looked at their stuff, I'm going like, wow. Wow. Look at the view they have from their house. And I'm sitting there going like, man, that is awesome. And then I begin to realize, fear, love, and trust in God above all things. When I see a beautiful home on television, a magnificent location where people live, I can begin to understand why the love of money pushes Jesus right off the throne. You see what I mean? When I begin to covet things in the world, I begin to just slide Jesus right aside, because I want heaven right now. Well, some of you are thinking, okay, Pastor, that one completely clunked off me because it doesn't apply to me. I don't have any money. And quite honestly, you know, it's, I don't know. But Luther didn't forget about you either. He said these words: on the other hand, he who has no money doubts and is despondent as though he knew no God. For very few people can find who are of good cheer and who neither mourn nor complain if they lack mammon. This care and desire for money sticks and clings to our nature right up to the grave. So either you have it or you don't, but either way, we have a tendency to break God's commandments. And so you're beginning to ask the question, okay, Pat, you started all this off with that little saying, everyone wants to find love. And you said we're going to find love in the Ten Commandments. And I haven't heard any of love in the Ten Commandments. So what are you talking about? If anything, the Ten Commandments show us that we're just misplaced. We don't love God. We don't love our neighbor. The Ten Commandments force us to enter this Lenten season and understand that I'm a poor, miserable sinner, as you rightly confessed, along with me. And the ashes will be applied because the wages of our sin is off, ultimately death. The Ten Commandments declare that we are sinners. So where is the love? Love can only really be found in the Ten Commandments when not God's law, but His gospel comes along and tells us who loves according to the Ten Commandments. Do you hear that? I just spent, I don't know, the last forever, it seemed like, telling you that you just don't do the Ten Commandments very well. But then the gospel part of it tells you who does. You see, God has never abandoned you. You see, the assigned Old Testament lesson for this evening is from the reading of Joel. And in Joel we hear these words to the nation of Israel, who, by the way, was a whole lot like you. Unfaithful to God at times, turning away. And these words are recorded. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. Why? For I can get a whipping? He goes on to say, God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. You see, it's because of God's love that He gives you in the law the Ten Commandments so that you would see your sin and see your need for a Savior. You see, that's the whole point of the law. It's not the measuring stick, and I got to do all these things, because God's Word says if we stumble at just one part of the law, we're guilty of breaking all of it. It's too high. The bar is too high for you to get over, but the law shows us that we're sinners, that we desperately need a Savior. Oh, then God comes back with those gracious words, for God so loved, put your name there, for God so loved you, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loved you when you were unlovable. When you're sitting there clicking the commandments off, breaking them one after another, God says, I love them. Scripture tells us in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. He was born of the woman born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, you and me. Jesus came to redeem us, that we may be adopted and received as children of God. You see, the Ten Commandments, Jesus lives under them just like you do. And where we break them, Jesus Christ fulfills them. And He tells His disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And all you and I miserably fail. In every attempt to keep the Ten Commandments, Jesus kept all of them. And He did it for you and for me. Still, we are tempted just as if we had... There are times where we're tempted to think, but Lord, I can do this on my own. But the reality is that Jesus Christ died upon the cross for us. And during this Lenten season, we have an opportunity to examine our lives, to understand exactly who we are. And why would we want to keep the Ten Commandments anyway? Have you ever heard this verse before? If you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. It's because of our love for Christ that we keep His commandments, that we love our Lord God above all things and serve Him only, the first commandment, and that is why we call upon His name in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, the second commandment. That's why we remember to gather together as the body of Christ to encourage and lift one another up, and to hear God's word and to receive His sacraments, the third commandment. That's why we honor our father and mother and those in authority over us. That's why we pray for our president. That's why we pray for our mayor and our governor, because they desperately need it. That's why we care for people who are hurting, the fifth commandment. That's why we resist the urge to go to internet sites that are sixth commandment. That's why we don't steal things that belong to other people. That's why we don't speak ill of anyone else. And that's certainly why we rejoice when other people have things that we don't, because God has entrusted it to them. The 9th and 10th commandment. All of this because of Jesus. This Lenten season, my friends, is all about Him. It's all about His love for you. And as you take this journey through the catechism, you begin to examine who you are. It's my prayer that you're going to find out exactly who you are as a child of God. Forgiven, renewed. Amen. Amen. We rise together. Our service continues on page 231.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense, and the lifting.